I'm Michael Lehman, the director.
Denise Sinovi, the producer.
Hi, I'm Daniel Waters. I'm the writer.
New World Pictures.
This is one of New World's last films.
That's right. If New World was getting out of the business of releasing theatrical films, and had we been slated to be released about 2 weeks later, we would have never made it, right?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, like, New World kind of died in childbirth. That there was, like, entire weeks where they couldn't take out ads in the newspaper.
Well, I remember I wrote a check for an ad in the LA Times and sent it to New World.
Oh,
geez. So we could have an ad in the paper, but they were too proud to take it. even though we didn't have ads in the newspaper, we still filled up the theater in Westwood.
I actually remember talking to the head of distribution at New World, and I called him and I said, the movie's in its second week of release, it's got great reviews, it's filling houses in New York and L.A. and other cities. There's no ad in the L.A. Times on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, there isn't?
Yeah, literally.
But despite all that, the movie has continued to be, what do they call it, a cult favorite, thank God.
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know, people keep watching, and definitely video, a lot of people discovered it. There's so much junk in it that it takes more than one screening to get it all. Where did you film this?
This was in the, was it the Arboretum or the...
The Huntington Gardens.
Huntington Gardens, yeah. That's a wig on Lizanne Falk. Because we shot this sequence, like, way after the movie,
months
didn't we?
Months afterwards when she had cut her hair.
It's a bad wig.
Damn. That's true.
Lisa, well, actually was part of your inspiration, Dan. Well, didn't you track her career since she was a child mom?
Yeah, I like to think I have something to do with Lizanne Falk. That okay. Lizanne Falk did a book called Lizanne, Portrait of a Young Model when she was like 14, which I was obsessed with when I was around 14. So I used to see it in my mall every day. So it was like when I saw her on the casting sheet, I go, oh my God, Lizanne Falk, this is kismet.
You made us cast her, but she was good. She was sweet. Yeah. Now, Shannon was reading Moby Dick there, which we originally wanted that to be...
Catch in the Rye,
but we couldn't get the clearance for it.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, if you think about all Catcher in the Rye instead of Moby Dick, everything makes much more sense since it's so tied in with psychopath and pathological behavior to begin with that it's just much funnier as Catcher in the Rye. And
how did
Moby
we do
Dick's
that shot?
Moby Dick's a bit of a joke.
How did we do that? I don't remember.
We had pieces of wood with sod on them.
Oh, right.
Dear Diary, Heather told me she
Yay.
Teaches people real
okay.
life.
Now we're there at Westerburg High, which was actually, that was the...
Corvallis High School. In the valley on Laurel Canyon.
I think it's great that we used that Winona was 15 or 16 when she did the movie, but all the extras are in their late 30s.
That was in a tradition at New World of doing high school pictures with people who hadn't been in high school in years.
Yes. The good thing about the opening credit sequence is we went through the whole movie. We didn't have a chance to exploit the whole fact that there are three girls named Heather, and the opening credit sequence is when we had to pack in all our Heather jokes. You know.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, and Rudy Dillon, the costume designer, should get a lot of credit, is that the costume, the wardrobe in this movie is still completely contemporary. It doesn't look dated. There's something very strange about it.
Yeah, I think it was... a lot of people said they were... I mean, I think even Michael, you thought we were maybe going too far at the start, but I think it looks great.
Looks great 9 years later.
Yeah.
Going too far with the choice of clothing and that
yeah,
sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a question of how far to push the stylization and how, you know, what level of reality to hold. Certainly, things about the girls wearing specific colors or dominant...
Mm-hmm.
Colors
yeah.
was something that you had in the script, Dan, which we tried to execute consistently throughout the film. I thought that was a great way to go.
I thought it was good.
The green, red, and yellow.
This cafeteria sequence was, how many pages was that? That was really tough to...
Yeah, well, originally the script's like, was it meant to be a 3-hour Stanley Kubrick film of, like, encapsulating every high school film ever made, and the cafeteria sequence is supposed to be like the wedding scene in The Godfather, taking up 20 pages, and we ended up cutting it, but I think, you know, I think it's down to
still
a nice
pretty
length
long.
Now. Yeah.
Well, it was when Stanley told me he wanted me to direct it instead of him, that he said, I suggest you cut that cafeteria scene down.
Now, I gotta give credit to this note thing. It was actually something my sister's friends actually used to do, Stephanie Kraft used to do in
That's so cruel.
In high school of forging a note from a boy and giving it to a girl, you know, and something I stole for actual use.
Since we're looking at the cafeteria sequence, I want to talk a little bit technically how, Dan, you wrote it very specifically, and even though I'm not sure all the camera moves were written into the script, but it had a very fluid sense and a strong visual sense to it, I thought, when I read it, and we worked pretty hard to have the scene itself echo what you had in the script. I remember doing specific storyboards for this whole sequence, even though it's fundamentally a dialogue scene.
Now,
well, the thing people don't realize, I think, when they see it is when you have dialogue with so many characters in so many different areas of the room in terms of doing, you know, coverage pieces that you can edit together to keep it straight in your mind, Michael. I remember it was really an incredibly difficult thing with so many pages.
Yeah. Going back to Stanley Kubrick, didn't you have everybody watch Full Metal Jacket?
So we were talking about Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, which I know I used as a model. I sat down with Francis Kenney, the cinematographer, and we talked about movies, fairly recent movies that we could look at as a point of reference for the visual style, and I told him that I thought that we should carefully examine all the scenes in the barracks in Full Metal Jacket and the way in which the camera moved around with the drill sergeant and the way in which the windows kind of, the lighting in the windows blew out, and there was use of diffusion to soften the light and use of wide-angle lenses. And I remember watching that very carefully in specific reference to this scene.
Hi, Courtney. Love your cardigan. Thanks.
How is Carrie Lynn cast?